Pleased to have you with us on this Wednesday before Christmas, our final show before the holiday in a couple of days. We are delighted to be joined by the college football professor this Wednesday. And by the way, we will not have a show Friday, and we will not have a show Monday. So our next show will be our next show with the college football professor, which is a week from today. So we'll look forward to that. But, Mr. Professor, I hope you're doing well on this Wednesday afternoon.
I am doing well. We're right in the middle of the bowl season.
Yes, we are.
And I think, Jacob, we've gotten off to a real good start.
It's been interesting.
Yeah, you know, it means something. There are those who want to put down some of these bowls. Sometimes people have the tendency to project their own interest to be the standard for others. You know, you hear people say, oh, the fans this, fun. You know, if you talk about hockey, I'm not that interested in hockey, but you talk to people in Pittsburgh or Boston or the University of Minnesota at Duluth, and they would be very excited and waiting with bated breath to talk about hockey.
I imagine they would, but I wouldn't know much about that. What else do we have on the menu for today's show?
Well, just looking at a couple of bowls. We've had about four that's taken place by now, but the couple of them. Let's look at the New Orleans Bowl. Louisiana Lafayette 32, San Diego State 30, and there were 42,841 fans there. So there's a lot of interest there in that game, and I thought it was a very exciting game. Well played, exciting players, just really good.
Yep. And a good one for Mark Hudspeth and his
absolutely
program.
And you can't forget the best named bowl, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Yep. And Ohio won that bowl 24-23.
First bowl victory in school history for the Bobcats.
Right, and there were 28,076 fans there. Probably in those two, I've just given you the attendance. Probably, now I don't know this, I didn't check the record, but that, as far as a home game at least, I would say that they played before a larger crowd than they played any other time during the year.
So well, they have 28,000, whatever you said, 700 and whatever, and they also had 3,000 potatoes, so that added to their attendance numbers.
That's right. Well, you know, potatoes got eyes.
That's right.
So the eyes were looking. What do you think about us looking at maybe the next 10 bowls? And just talking about them a little bit. Some of them pretty good games.
Well, sounds good.
Some of them might be a dud.
I guess we could start with the one that's on tonight, and that's TCU versus La Tech and the SD County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
Yeah, that's an interesting bowl. I think La Tech has earned a bowl game. They've had a really good year, but I'm going to have to go with TCU to win. You know, TCU's got a 10-2 record. And La Tech comes into the game with 8-4 record. So I'm going to have to give the Poinsettia to Texas Christian University.
Me too. I will go with TCU. I like what they do there at that program, and I'll take them over La Tech.
And the next one is at the Las Vegas Bowl.
Right.
I don't remember the name of it.
Mako Las Vegas Bowl.
The Mako Las Vegas Bowl.
Better be careful.
And, yes, well, maybe I forgot the name because I think one of the teams in it's been forgotten. That is,
yes, they have.
Boise State. I might say something later about how that if we want to realign something, we could change the bowl alignments. I think that would help, that there wouldn't be so many tie-ins. And it might help a team like Boise State to get into a better bowl. But anyway, they're playing Arizona State,
yep.
And I'm going to go with Boise on that game.
Yeah, it's hard not to. I agree with you. I took one Mountain West team, and I'll take another. I'll take Boise State over Arizona State. How about the Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve between Southern Miss and Nevada? That one, 7 o'clock from Hawaii.
I wonder
what Honolulu.
I wonder what Southern Miss feels like. Here they are going to a bowl in Hawaii. That's quite an achievement. 11-2 record. And I'm going to go with Southern Miss. Now, I know you're sticking with those Mountain West Conference teams, so I guess you'll go with Nevada. But I'm going to pick Southern Miss to defeat Nevada.
Well, in the spirit of Christmas, I will not stick with the Mountain West. I will go with Southern Miss over them. I just like the way they competed. I mean, they really shut down Houston in that game. The defense played well, and they were able to put up some points. So I don't think Nevada will beat them at all.
I think that'll be a one-sided game myself. The next game is the Independence Bowl,
yep,
in Shreveport. I think this is a really good bowl, good venue, and two teams that probably are pretty excited about being there, North Carolina State and Missouri. And I think it'll be a good game. It'll be very interesting to watch this game. I'm going to go with Missouri as they get ready to enter the Southeastern Conference.
Well, the Advocare V100 Independence Bowl between North Carolina and Missouri. Now, it's interesting. This bowl used to have an SEC tie-in and had an SEC program year after year. Well, I guess they have another one, Missouri.
Well, it just tells you something, Jacob. I don't care what they do, what they say. They can't keep the Southeastern Conference out.
That's
they?
Right. I will take, by the way, the Tigers to get a win before they enter the conference next year. Nice building program-building victory there.
It's amazing to me that Detroit had gone from being the car capital, you know, the auto manufacturing capital, to now it's the pizza, I guess, capital, because the Little Caesar Bowl in Detroit, with Western Michigan at 7-5 playing Purdue 6-6. Now, this is one of those games that I think that the teams that are in the game will be quite excited about it, but it's going to be hard to get a lot of excitement beyond that. But for whatever reason, I'm going to pick Purdue to win this game.
Well, I don't think Ndamukong Suh will be required by either of these teams, but he may be lurking around. If so, you might want to look out. But the Little Caesars Bowl in Detroit, Michigan, Purdue versus Western Michigan. You want to go with a home team, right? Western Michigan? No, I'll take the Big Ten. I'll take Purdue.
The next game is the Belk Bowl in Charlotte, North Carolina. And here we have... This is North Carolina State. I think I said the Independence Bowl is North Carolina State. It's North Carolina and Missouri in the Independence Bowl. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, the Belk Bowl in Charlotte has the Wolfpack from North Carolina State, 7-5, playing Louisville, 7-5. And even though Louisville will come all dressed up when they come to the Belk Bowl, I'm going to pick North Carolina State to win this game.
Well, I'm going to give the Belk Championship to Louisville. I think the Cardinals have had a good year this year and really deserve the spot that they're getting in the bowl season, and I think they'll get a big win.
The next game is the Military Bowl in Washington, D.C. Now, this is interesting, Jacob.
Yes, it is.
The Air Force versus the Rockets, Toledo. So that's interesting that Air Force at 7-5 will be playing Toledo at 8-4.
Well, you would think that this bowl game would be co-sponsored by Southwest Airlines and NASA, but instead it's sponsored by Northrop Grumman, whatever that is. But Air Force versus Toledo, I will take Troy Calhoun's squad. I think they're doing really well this year. Air Force, for those of you who do not know.
Right. The Holiday Bowl in San Diego. Now, you realize that San Diego, we just mentioned the Poinsettia Bowl with TCU and Texas Tech. Well, 1 week later will be the Holiday Bowl in San Diego, and it'll be Cal versus Texas. And I'm going to pick Texas. I don't know why. In fact, I can't imagine either one of these teams winning this game. But
no, this is one you don't want to see a winner.
Yeah, I just, you know, either of these teams doesn't have much heart, as far as I'm concerned. They got a lot of talent, a lot of players, but not much heart. So I'm going to go with Texas.
Well, bold prediction right here, but I think the Dallas Cowboys will make the playoffs, and Texas will beat California for the Bridgepoint Education Holiday Bowl in San Diego. So I'm gonna go out on a limb with those two picks.
Next, we go to Orlando. And I'm going to call this the Hype Bowl. Now, I know it's called the Champs Sports Bowl in Orlando, but...
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I'm going to call it the Hype Bowl. It's Florida State and Notre Dame. I don't know that any two teams get any more hype than these two. And Florida State comes in with an 8-4 record, and I imagine that's the best 8-4 record in the country. And Notre Dame comes in with an 8-4 record. That's probably better than any 8-4 team in the country. And it's hard to know which one of these teams will win this game, and I'm just going to pick Florida State to win.
I think you're right, and I think it does speak to the fact that both of these teams were vastly overrated before the season began. I don't know why we continue to put Notre Dame in our preseason polls year after year after year, and they continue to not live up to expectations each year, but that's just another day for another story. But I will say that in this game, I have to take Florida State. I really do. I think they will get the victory.
The last game that we'll pick tonight, we're going to go back to Texas, to San Antonio, to the Alamo Bowl. And this might be the last stand for Washington or Baylor.
Yeah.
Washington comes in with a 7-5 record, and Baylor comes in at a 9-3 record. I'm going to really pick a huge upset in this game. I'm going to pick Washington to win the game.
That would be an upset. I think that Baylor will ride the momentum of having their first Heisman Trophy win, if that really means that much, but I think it does in Baylor's case. I think they will ride the momentum of having Robert Griffin III win the Heisman and be able to cruise to a nice victory in the Valero Alamo Bowl here in San Antonio. Should be an interesting game, though. Pac-10, Big 12, Baylor having a dream season. It'd be a nice way to cap off their season with a victory.
Jacob, if it's all right with you, we'll get back to maybe talk about a bowl or two in a moment.
Okay.
But I'd like for us just to take a couple minutes here and reflect on the realignment. We haven't
right.
talked about that in some time.
No, we haven't.
And some of the realignment now is beginning to settle in. And what I would like to do is maybe we would pick the winners and losers in this realignment. And if I would, I'll go first with my winners.
Cool.
And let's go for three. I'm going to say three, two or three.
Okay.
First of all, I believe the biggest winner in the realignment is Missouri. Now, let me tell you why.
Okay.
Now, first of all, Missouri was in the original Big Eight. And in that Big Eight, they, of course, had Oklahoma State. They had Nebraska and Colorado. And I believe after the Big Eight merged with the Southwest Conference, Southwest bringing in Texas A&M, and Baylor, and Texas Tech, and merging with the Big Eight, it seems that Missouri was kind of left out a little bit. They were kind of on the periphery. We always talked about Oklahoma and Texas and so forth. And Missouri's big games were with Nebraska and with Colorado. Well, all of a sudden, Colorado and Nebraska were gone. And so I believe Missouri, moving into the Southeastern Conference, there will be a lot of new interest there. There'll be some connection. I believe they'll develop some rivalry with Texas A&M. Of course, they've played them in the Big 12 and with Arkansas and then with other teams. So I believe it's going to bring some new interest in football and in all sports to Missouri. And the second winner is TCU. Now, TCU, Missouri leaving the Big 12, TCU coming in, but TCU's been kind of left out in the cold for some time. They finally decided to try to improve their position by joining the Big East. And before they could swallow good or take a bite out of the Big Apple, they moved back into what's now the Big 12, which rejected them before. So I'm going to say TCU. And the third winner is San Diego State. Now, the reason I say San Diego State is they move into the Big East, and this is going to afford the administration of the San Diego State, their administration will rack up some huge frequent flyer miles.
Okay, well, I haven't really given this much thought, but I will play the game as well. I think there's no doubt that the biggest winner in all of this is Mike Sly. He's not too far from where we're sitting right now. Because of the additions of Missouri, which brings in television markets in Kansas City, and it doesn't matter really where the television markets are, the fact that they are brought in is what matters. They also brought in Texas A&M, of course, which is near Houston, but again, that doesn't matter so much. What matters is that they get to renegotiate their television contracts, and as everybody knows, SEC has a great contract with CBS, the ESPN, the top of the nation. So I think that is why Mike Slive and the SEC are really the biggest winners in this conference expansion process. I think some of the losers, I could go into it. First of all, Larry Scott for deciding not to expand and getting Colorado and Utah. I mean, come on, we can do much better than that if you're the Pac-12 and you're supposed to be on the ascendancy. And I know they're hiring great coaches and all that out there, but they have not done anything so far to impress me. And the second loser I have in this conference expansion deal, I have to say, is the ACC. What were they thinking? They added Pittsburgh and Syracuse? I don't understand what they are planning to get out of those two additions, but they nonetheless took them, and the Big East, as you said, is a little depleted. So those are just a few of my winners and losers.
Well, my loser would be West Virginia. Think about it. West Virginia, who lose their rivalries, and now they lose that connection with Pittsburgh and some of those close in, and right. And they had hoped to be able to develop a rivalry with either. You know, here's Louisville was close to them; they've lost that, and Kentucky just across the border, they've lost that. And anyway, I look at that. Before we come to the close of the program, I did want to just mention a few awards.
Here
they are, and you can comment on these or pick someone else.
Okay.
I picked the Will Rogers Award, that is, I never met a person I didn't like, to be Virginia Tech. It seems like they're the darling of everybody. Everybody wants to talk about how good they are, and so I'm just saying Virginia Tech doesn't seem to have any enemies. The second award is the Barney Fife Award. That is, you don't know that they think they're good and really don't know that they're not. And that's Ohio State. The Rodney Dangerfield, no respect, that's Boise State. And then the Little Brother Award goes to Arkansas. The Amnesia Award, that is, I don't know who I am. I'm going to give that to the Georgia Bulldogs. And the Paper Tiger Award goes to Oklahoma. The Fallen Star goes to the Lone Star State, Texas. The First Half Team of the Year. Now, I'm talking about not the first half of the season.
I believe I know where this is going.
But the first half of each game, the First Half Team of the Year is Texas A&M. Now, Jacob, my flop of the year, and I'll let you pick it. I'm going to give you the nominees.
All right.
The nominees are Ole Miss, Oregon State, Florida, Texas Tech, UCLA, and Illinois.
Well, I would have to go with Florida from the ones that you mentioned there. And the reason is, yes, Ole Miss had a disastrous season. And Oregon State, there are no words that can describe how bad their year was. But all of those teams are not expected year in, year out to compete for championships and be at a very high quality of play. Florida is. Florida has the kind of players to do that, and they should have had the kind of coaching to do that. Therefore, my biggest flop of the year has to go with the Gators, who finished 6-6. Not good.
Well, I voluntarily left off Tennessee because I don't think we expected much of them, and they didn't disappoint.
Nope.
Now, the surprise team of the year, and I gave this to some little boys, I guess you could say, and that's Arkansas State, Louisiana Lafayette, and Virginia.
Yep.
Those the three teams that were my surprise teams.
Well, it is always interesting to talk about how the awards at the end of the year, and we will have much more on the year end. We'll talk about the entire year of sports and college football, of course, on our next program next week as we near New Year's, the turning of the year. But before we adjourn this session of the Bun Sports Show, college football professor has a little bit to say about Christmas, which is coming up in a couple of days.
Well, the old professor would like to just say, I hope that each of you enjoy this Christmas season. It's a time for family. It's a time for celebration. It's a time for remembering. And we have some wonderful memories. And I hope that you will take some time to just think about those fond memories you have of Christmases past and reflect on all the good things that's happened in your life. But when you are remembering, let me ask you to do this. Remember someone who might be alone, or someone who's going through a tough time, or maybe someone who needs encouragement. But most of all, remember the purpose and the meaning of Christmas. A child was born. The Son of God, the Savior. God became flesh and dwelt among us. He brings eternal life to those who receive Him. Merry Christmas to all, and I trust you'll have a great Christmas.
Well put. As always, Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.